Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
In jail. Go on home.
There's your favorite line.
It's my favorite line for my favorite.
That's your favorite line.
From my favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Keep the phone, you love.
Merry Christmas to you in jail. Is how the line goes. I'm a little bit in the Christmas spirit.
Are you?
I know you'll find that hard to believe.
Well, as I mentioned on Rick's program, we now have 24 shopping days.
I know, I can't
until
wait.
Christmas.
I know, I've already started the Dean Richards Sunday morning Advent calendar. Each week we open a little window, one little window, there's Maxwell Street, one window... The far-flung forecast is there. One window, Joe Brand is filling in for Andy Mazur. Because Andy's actually had more days off this year than...
Another window for the various remotes that we have done.
Right, right, right. Remembering all the fun things that we've done through the years. Oh, Andy, now your microphone's
Thank you very much. Thought I was being punished here for something.
No, I'm not censoring you. The button got pulled off. So, number one, I'm in the holiday spirit. I'll explain why in a second. But number two, we're going to have our annual visit from the theater group that puts on It's a Wonderful Life on stage in Chicago. And they're going to come in and perform some of the scenes from It's a Wonderful Life.
That's a holiday tradition on this program.
And also a holiday tradition on this program where I get to be Mr. Potter in that famous scene.
You live for this.
It's the only reason I do this show.
One line every year.
The only reason I do this show is so once a year we can have the group in and I can say, Happy New Year to you in jail.
I can see you standing at Randolph in Michigan just yelling that to everybody.
I become one of those guys?
Yes.
The standing at Randolph in Michigan
Randolph
guys?
Randolph in Michigan, right out in front of the Cultural Center.
Right out in front of where Shopper's Corner used to be. Hey, Merry Christmas to you.
Happy New Year in jail. Or out in front of the Cook County Criminal Courts building.
People crossing the street so they don't have to walk near me. Trying to avoid eye contact. Is that Dean Richards?
No, it's Billy Joel.
Is that the guy that used to be on Channel 9?
It used to be on Channel 9.
Before he went nuts? He finally snapped? Poor guy. Give him a quarter. Yeah, so they're going to be in on the theater segment at 10:30. But here's why I'm in the holiday spirit. Because, it's overwhelming, right? I mean, the things you have to do and get together is an obligation. It's overwhelming. But I went to a nice holiday show last night at the Chicago Theater, and it was delightful and kind of got me in the Christmas spirit a little bit.
And what show was that?
It's called 'Twas the Night Before.
Oh, yes. I saw that on the marquee up there.
Yeah. 'Twas the Night Before. It's put on by the people who put on Cirque du Soleil. So, you know how they usually have a theme? Sometimes it's a Michael Jackson theme or the Beatles theme. or you know, different storylines that they have with their Cirque du Soleil shows. This one is based on the you know, famous verse, 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. So they kind of break that down and act out scenes from that famous verse in a very hip, modern way. So it's not, and it's traditional, but it's not traditional. It's just such a nice, fresh take on, you know, a holiday production like this that features Cirque du Soleil acrobats and, you know, all the visual wonders that you expect from a Cirque du Soleil show. Amazing dancing, really fun. And truly, people of all ages will enjoy the show. But I mean, don't go thinking it's going to be a, you know, traditional kind of Victorian sort of you know, Christmas production. It's not. It's very modern, very hip, really fun. And hey, I'm in the holiday spirit.
I take it there was some music involved with the various scenes.
Oh, definitely. It's not. It's nothing but music. Yeah.
Okay.
It's nothing but music and dancing and acrobatics. And you know, juggling and you know, like that, all the things that I would like to see us doing on this show in the new year.
We juggle the entire show,
right? By June of 2020, I would like to see the three of us doing an acrobatic act. You know, when we do our annual
Dean Richards tumblers, is that what this is going to be?
Stumblers. It'd be stumblers.
The stumblers, yes.
When we do our annual show at Presidential Towers, you know, we do that every spring. I would like to see us do an act of acrobatic feet.
I'd like to
spin plates.
Better
start practicing now.
Yeah.
I want to do the spinning plates.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Andy's getting in the spirit of it all.
I'm going to do cartwheels.
Okay.
And handsprings.
All right. All right. Very good.
Good luck with that.
I will spin around on the silks. You know how they you know, it's not ropes that descend from the top.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like these silks and these incredibly fit acrobats, athletes. You know, they do like a dance number with these silks and they climb up the silks and, you know, all that. That's what I'll do.
But we have to have that music that they used to play on the Bozo show when they would do those kind of acts, right?
Oh, we can get that.
That spinning plate music.
We can get that.
Yeah, exactly.
We can get that. Not a problem.
Yeah, that's easy to get.
Okay, cool.
So I'm inspired, you know, in a couple of different ways. I've got the holiday spirit. And, you know, usually I'm not a New Year's resolution person either. But, you know, I think we've got a little of both now. Now we've got something to look forward to in 2020. And, you know, it's something for the show, for the year.
You've already figured out your New Year's resolutions. That's it, right there. I can see Andy with the plates.
I'm going to show off. I'm going to put it on my nose. Put it on my forehead. I'm going to show you guys up.
Shawnee. Cartwheels from one side of the stage to the
somersaults
other.
Rolling around on the floor.
Backsprings.
And then I descend from the top of the field on these silks.
Love it.
With my shirt off, and people go, oh my gosh, put a shirt on.
Nice.
Yeah, we've got something to look forward to.
Better yet, pull the curtain.
Right. So there you go.
Nice.
We've got some fun things to look forward to for the new year. 9:23. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. We had a great time in the Chicago Thanksgiving Parade this past Thanksgiving morning. It's a nice morning. Greeting all the smiling faces. I'm amazed how many people come out to State Street. You know, and it's generally a little bit chilly. As Thanksgiving parades have gone in Chicago through the years, it was a very pleasant morning. We've had super cold weather, snowy, rainy weather through the years. This time it was a little bit chilly, but, you know, not all that bad. But nice to see everybody out there and, you know, families coming out. Clearly, it's a tradition for a lot of people to come out for Thanksgiving morning. So we came out. We hope you enjoyed it. If you watched it on television, We hope you enjoyed it. I've gotten all kinds of feedback for the first run of our WGN TV special, WGN TV Classics, Bozo, Gar, and Ray. That was on immediately following the parade, as a matter of fact. And, that it is going to be on again. WGN TV Classics will again be on. Let me see here, because I know you're all writing these down, so you know you don't miss a moment. It's going to be on again in primetime, 7 to 9 p.m. on December 20th. And then it's become a tradition that we run it Christmas Eve at 10 p.m., right before midnight mass. So you'd be able to see Bozo, Gar, and Ray again in those time slots. Amazing to me how many people are seeing the show for the first time. This year was our 15th year of showing the special that salutes, I think, without a doubt, three of the most popular children's television shows in the history of Chicago TV, Bozo Circus, Ray Rayner, and Garfield Goose. But we've got all kinds of emails from people who had never seen the show before, brought back a million memories for them of their childhood growing up in Chicago. You know, the same kind of comments that we get every year, that their kids, who weren't even born when these shows were originally on the air, watched them for the first time and were kind of hypnotized by the slower-paced kind of children's programming, so different than what's out there right now. So thank you, everybody who watched. We do have other special programming for the month of December, including Family Classics. We are bringing back Family Classics, the great movie series that Frazier Thomas and Roy Leonard kept going for decades on WGN, where they would show, you know, great family films. We're going to be showing the holiday classic Holiday Inn on December the 13th in primetime, 7 to 9 p.m., and then on New Year's Eve, we've got another Family Classics, kind of a Marx Brothers double feature, sort of, starting at 10 o'clock, the Marx Brothers movie Monkey Business. And then we have a New Year's Countdown show, Chicago's very own New Year's Eve Blast, that I will co-host with Anna Belaval and Sarah Jindra from the WGN Morning News. Then immediately following that at 12:15, another Marx Brothers Family Classics, Animal Crackers. So we've got some fun stuff coming up. And if you're a fan of the Bozo Show, if you grew up with that in Chicago, we've got another special coming up this coming Friday called Bozo Circus the 1960s, that zeroes in specifically on the 1960s era of that program that featured Bob Bell and Ray Rayner and Don Sandberg and Ned Locke. That's this coming Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you want to get more info on any of that, you can always go to WGNTV.com. And, you know, we'll go from there. Early morning showers today could change to wet snow, periods of accumulating snow in our forecast, especially this afternoon and tonight. It's 40 degrees outside right now. And, Chwani, that could turn today into even a bigger nightmare than it already is, with being the busiest travel day of the year.
That's right.
It's going to be a nightmare at O'Hare. Aren't there already all kinds of flight
delays?
There
are delays, not only with the flights, but slow traffic into and out of O'Hare. We just got past a dense fog advisory, but, you know, it's still, I'm sure there's patchy fog in places. We also have a lakeshore flood warning for Lake County, Illinois.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on all of that for you and keep you posted on all that. We'll check in with meteorologist Mike Hamernick in about a half an hour. But now, ladies and gentlemen, it's your favorite, America's most favorite feature, the award. What? What are you laughing at?
Just the buildup you're giving this.
I might be embellishing a little bit. It's America's most favorite feature, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Schwann's far-flung forecast.
And we are observing a date in American history today as we head south to Montgomery, Alabama. Montgomery, Alabama, of course, the capital of the state of Alabama, named for Richard Montgomery, who was an Irish soldier.
Did he start Montgomery Wards?
Yeah, no.
Was he the one that started Montgomery Wards?
No. By the way, Montgomery Ward's first name actually was Aaron. Aaron Montgomery Ward. Or but that's another story.
As my mom used to call it, monkey wards.
Monkey wards. Yep. Well, yeah, we all called it monkey wards. But,
did you ever hear that, Andy?
Monkey I did, wards? Yes, yeah, yes.
Monkey wards.
Richard Montgomery.
I'm going to the monkey wards.
And then I'm going to the Jules.
On the way to Weebolt.
Wow.
He was Richard Montgomery was an Irish soldier, first serving in the British Army, then later became a major general in the Continental Army. But this is why we mention Montgomery, Alabama today, with a population of 205,000. It was on this date in 1955 that a young lady named Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a bus. And which was the law in the southern United States at the time, or in certain states at the time, where African Americans were required to sit, in designated seats in the back of the bus, and were required to give up a seat if they had to move. She refused to do so.
Isn't that amazing that it wasn't that long ago where there was a law that one person had to get up so somebody else could sit down?
And how about this? Bus drivers were there to enforce the law, some of whom were armed.
Amazing.
And she refused to give up the seat. Of course, she was arrested. And that started the Montgomery bus boycott, right, which went on for over a year in Montgomery, Alabama, before the group was victorious in getting the law changed. Among the leaders of this group, a young Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who spoke at the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery during this time, which, if you look at the map, this is amazing. It's right around the corner from the state capitol building.
Is that right?
In Montgomery, Alabama. Wow. Yeah. Dude. But a year after Rosa Parks refused to give up that seat on the bus, things slowly started to change. She, of course, became, you know, an American icon, an American hero. When she died in 2005, Congress passed a law that was honoring her to lay in state in the Capitol Rotunda. Very seldom does that happen. It is also Rosa Parks Day, and a statue of Rosa Parks will be unveiled in Montgomery later today. Not only that, the very bus that she was sitting on is now on display at the Henry Ford Museum.
Really?
In Greenfield Village.
The actual vehicle.
The actual bus, and you can go in it.
Wow.
And it's all been restored. There's a wonderful event there, a display. The bus was actually in someone's yard for a number of years, and historians found it and restored it and authenticated it, you know, confirming that this was indeed the bus that that she was on. And you can see it now at the Henry Ford Museum. It's part of their Liberty and Justice for All exhibit.
Wow, that's something. What year was that again?
1955. And Montgomery, Alabama has cloudy skies and 60 degrees today.
See, is there any wonder why this is America's most popular feature?
It's entertaining and informative.
It's entertaining.
That's what you like. That's the goal. That's the objective.
You don't win 10 Pulitzer Prizes, just by throwing out, junk every week.
We've displayed those Pulitzer Prizes in the newsroom here.
Right. With all of our Kmart Christmas stuff that you guys put up.
There's a couple of little trees over there.
This room's very festive right at the moment. But, a great far-flung forecast.
Montgomery, Alabama.
As always. You know what else is going on this morning on top of everything else? There's something like 20,000 motorcycles. I'm 40, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. When we think of motorcyclers, you know, there's sort of an image in your mind, but here in Chicago, every December 1st, motorcyclers all get together for a very, very good cause, the annual Chicagoland Motorcycle Toys for Tots that is currently going on down Western Avenue in Chicago. Something like 20,000 motorcycles are out there to deliver toys for kids who are in need. And Gio Webster is the treasurer of Chicagoland Toys for Tots. And she is actually on site right now where Toys for Tots. Gio, good morning. Where are you exactly?
I am on Western Avenue in the middle of the world's greatest motorcycle parade.
But, like, at what cross section on Western Avenue, do you know?
I had to walk. I had to actually get out of the parade so I could talk to you.
Right.
So I am at Western and the side street. 74th.
Okay. All right. So you're on the south side, and this goes all the way up to Foster Avenue, if I remember correctly, right?
Back in the day, we currently have the ending point at the DePaul College Prep lot, okay, which is at 3300 on Campbell.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Very good. Well, explain kind of the history of all of this. I know that this is the 42nd annual. This has been a very, very popular event for many years, delivering toys and bringing good cheer to kids who might not otherwise have a nice holiday. Explain the history of this a little bit.
So back, I believe it was in 1978, there were two folks sitting around going, you know, I got these toys, and I'm paraphrasing, let's go ahead and take them over to the Marine base. So they did. And then the next year they said, oh, let's go back. And more people joined in. And more people joined in. And they told two friends, and now we have the world's greatest motorcycle parade.
So how many people are you estimating are in the motorcycle parade today?
Today? Ooh, so...
I heard an estimate of 20,000. Is that sound accurate?
It actually does, and the lot is still filling. So, yeah.
Because really, you don't really know until the event, right? Because people just show
Correct.
Up with their bikes, and they have toys.
They just show up.
Toys yep. strapped to their bikes.
They do.
Yeah, and they're all delivered that way.
Yes. We have trailers, and if you don't see a bike with a toy on it, it's because they probably have already dropped it off.
Right. Now, so you're a motorcycler yourself.
I am not.
Oh, you're not, but I saw that you said you were in the parade.
I am in the parade. I'm riding on the back.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
I'm usually a worker, so I'm on the board, but I've always had a role on the north side to coordinate things. This is my first year actually being able to ride in the parade.
Oh.
And what an experience. I finally get what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, explain what that's like. I imagine people from all over the city, because it goes down the longest running street in the city of Chicago, Western Avenue. So I imagine people from all neighborhoods come out to see this spectacular spectacle of all of these thunderous motorcycles.
Yeah, there are folks actually that come from Indiana and from Wisconsin, and possibly farther than that. A few folks that I met this morning, they woke up, 2 o'clock in the morning and said, let's go to Chicago. Let's be in this parade. It's pretty fantastic. Everyone is just in a great mood. We're all here for the cause, and we're really excited about it. And what a great day. We couldn't have asked for better weather today.
Yeah, that's, the timing on this probably is going to be pretty good, because they are talking about some rain/snow later on today. But
right.
the timing on this works out perfectly. How did you get involved with Chicagoland Motorcycle Toys for Tots?
So you can certainly visit our website, which is at www.chicagolandtft.org. We have general meetings in Chicago and in River Grove. We are constantly, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. There are just so many ways to reach out to us. Or, again, reach out to us on our website, and we'll contact you. Absolutely.
Right. But how did you personally get involved? This was, I'm told, a kind of a unique and interesting way that you decided to get involved to help out the kids.
So I had been sick, and after I recovered, I met a few friends who were involved with the organization, and I said, well, this is something that I'd really like to know more about and get more involved with. And it all snowballed, if you will, from there. It's my ninth year, and I am so blessed to be able to be part of this organization, just to see everyone, their generosity. We are a 100% nonprofit organization, and just the time, the energy, the passion that everyone puts into it is just amazing to me.
Yeah, that's, I think that's one of the most beautiful things that, you know, a lot of charitable organizations, you know, they take money off the top. They're, you know, the 100% of what goes into the group doesn't always, you know, wind up with the beneficiaries of the group. That's not the case with this. Every penny, every donation, every everything, every minute of volunteer time all goes to
the
kids and people who need it, which I think is pretty special.
And it will, I hope we can continue doing this for another 42 years.
Yeah.
It really is humbling for all of us. And when you get the opportunity to pass out those toys, the looks, the gratitude, just the sheer joy from these kids is just heartwarming.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been involved with some other charities that deliver toys at the holidays. And, I mean, God bless people who are fortunate enough to have things for the holidays. There are plenty of people that don't, and the look of thanks and gratitude that you get not only from the kids but also from their parents is really is what the season is all about, right?
Absolutely, and it's so innocent. I like to say that I do this because I want to, you know, keep the innocence of the kid just a little while longer, you know, because there's nothing wrong with it. You know, be happy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I remember, and I know a lot of WGN, longtime WGN listeners will remember, that Uncle Bobby, Bob Collins, who is an avid motorcycle enthusiast, he would be involved in this every year. And, you know, that's really how I learned about all of this, of listening to Uncle Bobby and him participating and, you know, and talking about this.
Uncle Bobby, that's a little before my time with the organization.
Yeah.
But very happy that he was able to be there.
Yeah, he was. Bob Collins was one of the most popular radio personalities in the history of Chicago radio. We were fortunate enough to have him here on WGN, both in the evening, afternoons, and then in the mornings. And he was...
I apologize. I know who Bob Collins is,
yeah.
But I was unaware that he was with the organization.
Yeah, well, he was very much involved in it, that's for sure. And, you know, he always used to talk about the image that motorcycle enthusiasts have of, you know, like kind of a Hell's Angels image is anything but the truth for the average bike rider. That really they're kind of sweethearts and puppy dogs at heart,
and that is such a true story. They're not the bad people. They come from all walks of life, men, female alike, and they're fantastic folks. Every single one of them.
Yeah, heart of gold has been my experience. When anytime that I've met somebody involved in this, all they care about is giving. And this is done in association with the United States Marine Corps Foundation. Isn't that right?
It is. So one of our core mission statements is the toys that we collect, we then pass on to the Marine Corps. And we fulfill that mission every year.
Very good. Well, listen, I really appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to join us, to hop off the back of that bike for a minute and talk with us on the phone. Are you getting back on the bike and getting back in the parade now?
I am.
Good for you. Good for you. It's a pleasure to meet you, Gio. I hope someday we can do it in person.
Likewise.
Thank you for all that you do, and thank you to everybody involved with the Chicagoland Motorcycle Toys for Tots Parade. When do you anticipate that the parade will be over traffic can go back to normal on Western Avenue?
Well, I'm looking at the bike still traveling down Western. I would probably give it another hour. They're still coming.
Okay, very good. Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
A lot of kids are very appreciative, and we appreciate you taking some time to join us. If people would like to donate, can they do it online? Can they make a donation to you?
Absolutely. And again, that website is www.chicagolandtft.org.
www.chicagolandt.org. Geo
or
Webster.
Toys for Tots. Yes, sir.
Good deal.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us, and happy holidays to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Oh, you do the same thing. Isn't that nice? That's a great thing that goes on in Chicago every year. It's always a Sunday morning. I think it's always December 1st. I think that's when they do it every year, December 1st. But or whatever the Sunday is that's closest to December the 1st. They always collect all kinds of toys, and a lot of smiles are put on little kids' faces as a result of what they do. And as you heard, you can make a donation to help as well by going to Chicagoland, TFT, Chicagoland, T like Tom, F like Frank, T like Tom, .org, and you can make a donation to help them as well. 9:54, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. May the force be with you this morning. All of you going, and also with you. Thank you very much. I'm super excited. Guess who I'm interviewing this week? This coming week, I'm going to be going to Los Angeles, interviewing the cast of Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker. The new and final installation in the Star Wars saga. I'll have all kinds of Star Wars stuff for you on the WGN TV Morning News. On Steve Cochran's show, where we do our morning entertainment segment from 8 to 8:30 every week. Star Wars! Sitting down with the current cast, many of the originals as well. You know, I'm interviewing this time that I've never interviewed before in the Star Wars saga. I think I've interviewed pretty much all of them. I've had Mark Hamill. I've had Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, all the new cast. Billy Dee Williams this time. He's in this new movie, The Rise of Skywalker. So I'm super excited to be able to sit down with arguably the coolest guy in the world, Mr. Billy Dee Williams. So that is going to be this coming week. Speaking of Star Wars, by the way, there's a new, it's not exactly a trailer. It is new footage, though. It's not exactly a TV commercial. It's like a 30-second teaser, I guess you might say. If you go on YouTube, you'll be able to find it. We've got it up at WGNTV.com. You can see it there. But here is maybe one of the nicest stories that I've heard in a long time. The Disney company that now owns the Star Wars franchise, they bought it from Lucasfilms. They were contacted by a hospice in England, saying that there was a super Star Wars fan who is living with cancer, terminal cancer, and as they put it to the Disney people, time is not on the side of this patient. Meaning he doesn't have very much longer to live. But he's a Star Wars fan. He's seen every Star Wars movie. He's a super enthusiast. And is there any possible way that he can see the new movie before it officially opens on December the 20th? And normally movie studios are, you know, very, very secretive, super protective about keeping their properties private until the actual opening date because they're concerned about piracy. But they did arrange for this young man who is dying of cancer, basically, to see the new motion picture. They took a copy of the movie to the hospice, and this young man is in bed. He's got a stormtrooper's helmet on. I mean, he's so excited that he's going to be able to see this movie. And they made his wish come true. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, lovely story. So I'm glad all that could happen. And as I mentioned, we're going to be talking with the cast members of Star Wars and the filmmakers, director J.J. Abrams, the whole shot. We'll be featuring those for you on both TV and radio on WGN. Coming up in our next half hour of the program, we will be bringing you up to date with all the travel that's going on this morning. The weather is not going to be getting better today. Meteorologist Mike Hamernick is going to be joining us, and we'll get the complete update on how the forecast is going to shake out for the rest of the day. So you can, if you are returning from your, you know, Thanksgiving holiday, today is, you know, they call the busiest travel day of the year, not only in air, but people in their cars and, you know, headed back further north, much further north of the Chicago area, like upper Michigan, up into Wisconsin. They have some very heavy and very dangerous weather situations going on up in that area. So we'll get the full update of the forecast, not only here in Chicago, but in the region for those of you who are doing some automobile travel. But it's already affecting air travel. Lots and lots of flights have already been canceled, postponed, delayed. As you know, as you hear the warnings a million times, check with your airlines before you get to the airports. We're going to have that. And if you're a fan of the classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, we have something very special for you coming up in our weekend theater segment. All right, it is 10:10 in Chicago, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. So we wind down this Thanksgiving weekend. Holiday decorations were going up like crazy, I noticed, the past couple of days with the, you know, fairly mild weather. People are putting their lights up. So here is my question. I am completely perplexed on this. Years ago, I used to go and visit neighborhoods that were like completely decked out. There are certain neighborhoods in Chicago that like go crazy. And I remember that there was one. It was near Rosemont, but I think it was actually in Chicago. It might have been Edison Park, up in that area. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Do you know the streets? Do you know where that is? Because I'm off early today. I'm off at 11:30.
That's right. Check it out.
I'm going to check the lights out, even though it's not night. I like to get there early.
I guess
I like to see what the neighborhoods look like during the day. A lot of people
even though the lights aren't
on. Yeah, the lights aren't on. A lot of people go and like to enjoy the lights. I like to see what the neighborhoods look like. No, but where's that area? I'm looking for that and other areas similar to that. You know, places where they really deck it out, so people can go and enjoy the holiday decorations. That's what I'm looking for. 312-981-7200. I know that Lincoln Park Zoo, they've got their big light exhibit going on. I know out in Bolingbrook that they've got a huge light exhibit that's going on. You know, businesses in Roscoe Village, there are certain streets that are all decked out. But this one area, it's like driving through Disneyland. That's out, and some people are saying that it's in Lincolnwood. Somebody texted in at Devon and Central. Maybe that's the area, but I thought it was in the city. Somebody texted and said that it's in Saugeenash, and that it's off Devon Avenue. So I'm not sure if anybody knows. 312-981.
You know an area that looks nice this time of year and also looks nice during the day, whether or not the lights are on, is Andersonville.
Really?
Yes, around Foster and Clark, I believe, that area. Andersonville is a very nice set of decorations.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Lincoln Avenue.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's nice. And I think the other area, Dean, as you get close to the northwest side, Edison Park, Bryn Mawr Avenue, that when it parallels the expressway, can be a nice area there.
Yeah, well, isn't what's the name of that company? I forget. I've actually had them on the show. They're right off of the Kennedy Expressway around Wilson, somewhere.
Oh, yeah,
somewhere.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? That place, they decorate like crazy.
They usually have something on the roof, right?
On the roof,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And darn it, they've been on WGN a million times. I've had them on my show, but they used to come on Steve and Johnny's show all the time to talk about their decorations that that they do. Where are the most spectacular decorations to you? 312-981-7200. Steve, do you remember this one that I'm talking about that's kind of northwest?
I do believe I was going down the toll. I grew up in Northbrook, but there was one right off of Gulf Road. It would have been on your east side of the tollway.
East side of the tollway, okay.
off of 94, and they used to have a huge, that whole neighborhood would just be all lit up, and you could see it from the tollway, and you could see it from Gulf Road, right before you hit O'Hare, Dempster, in that area.
Yeah, I know it's old school to, you know, like, let's go for a ride, but it really is kind of a sweet thing to do with the family. Get everyone in the car, get some hot chocolate, and go check out some of these cool old neighborhoods that are decorated like crazy. This one that I'm thinking of, though, that's like around Devon, might be Cumberland, as some of them have said. It's a residential area. It's houses. It's definitely houses. But I appreciate your call. Let me get see if Lenny has any idea. Hi, Lenny. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. Yes, the area that I'm thinking of, I went there with as a kid with my parents. We used to drive through it. It's like Disneyland. It's called Sauganish.
Yeah, okay. You don't remember what streets, though, do you?
It's around, like, Devon and, like, Peterson, that area.
Devon Peterson, yeah. I guess you can't miss it. Once you get over there, you probably see the lights, I imagine.
Exactly, right. And then you just, when you drive in, it's like something you've never seen. It's really something to see.
It really is pretty. I remember one house in particular that was, it's like a three-story house, and they open up the drapes, and they made it look as though a Christmas tree started on the first floor, continued on the second floor, and topped off on the third floor. And it was, I have never forgotten that display. I wonder if they still do that.
I wonder, too.
Yeah.
They were just magnificent. They had all the different elves working on the lawn.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Lenny, thanks, right, and happy holidays to you. I appreciate the call. Let me take a quick break. We'll update weather and get back to some more of these in a second. 312-981-7200. WGN-TV is where we find meteorologist Mike Hammernick this morning on the busiest travel day of the year, one of the most important weather days of the year, because so many people are moving around today. And are we experiencing the quiet before the storm, Mike, right now?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, Dean. We're sort of in the eye of this storm system. It's a massive storm that covers the Midwest and all the way out to the East Coast, stretching from the U.S.-Canadian border down to Texas. And things have really calmed down. The winds have calmed down. The lake has calmed down because we're in the center of the storm right now. And we even got into the dry slot briefly. Some peaks of sun for a while this morning, but those are quickly fading as we're getting into the backside of this system now. And that's going to mean we'll see an increase in rain showers this afternoon once again, already raining in some parts of the Chicagoland area. So it's going to be a rainy day here, but mainly rain and not snow for us until sometime after about 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, we'll begin to see some snow mix in and then a switch over to all snow. But with temperatures so warm, I'm not thinking we're going to see much in the way of accumulation here. So still thinking generally good to travel weather-wise locally here. Maybe after 7, 8 o'clock north and west of the city, there could be a few slick spots. But until then, in general, we're in really good shape with temperatures right now in the upper 30s to around 40 degrees.
That sounds decent. I mean, no one's going to get socked too hard. Although
locally,
I was going to exactly my point because I was watching your reports on television this morning. You were talking about how just north of us, Wisconsin and Michigan, they are getting blasted this morning. Right?
Yeah, 1 to 2 feet of snow from Duluth through the.
Did you say 1 to 2 feet?
Yeah, we're not talking. Yeah, we quit counting inches. We're talking feet.
Wow.
In Duluth, Michigan's Upper Peninsula, some portions of northern Michigan. They were hammered over the past 24 hours. And I'm looking at the travel conditions up there, and they're not good. There's still a winter storm warning flying. Now, the worst of the snow is over with, but the blowing and drifting is kicking in. You got 1 or 2 feet of snow on these open roads, and it's just going to be treacherous travel weather-wise across southern and central Minnesota into northern Minnesota and northern Wisconsin, the UP of Michigan, as well as northern and central Michigan. Now, central Michigan got a lot of ice overnight, and I'm talking north of Grand Rapids as far as the ice is concerned. And then once you get north of, let's say Muskegon, it was mainly snow up in that direction. So winter storm warnings up there for the snow and ice. And as far as air travel is concerned, I don't think we're going to have anything locally that'll slow us down at O'Hare and Midway. The one problem they're having this morning is volume. There's so many, they've added so many flights, airlines have, that they're having trouble getting all the flights in and out. It's not weather related. It's just they have too many planes to get in and out on the roadways.
Yeah.
But out east, this storm is headed east, And there'll be some problems in airports such as Philly, D.C., New York, Boston, Manchester today because of wind as well as rain or snow. And in fact, some of that will extend as far south as Baltimore with some of the rain. But snow north and west of New York City as well as Boston will make for a real rough ride later today and tonight in the Northeast.
Yeah, but here in the Chicago area, not too bad.
No, I'm thinking a half an inch tonight of accumulation, probably worst case scenario. A brief burst of snow showers overnight, and you know, if you get your traveling done by 7 or 8 o'clock, you're in pretty good shape, because after that, that's when, especially north and west of the city, we could see roads begin to slicken up a little bit locally.
Okay, what about the rest of the week? Because I think I saw you this morning say it's going to be a not a terrible week coming up.
No, remarkably quiet. You remember when this winter got off to a rip-roaring start? We had 5 inches of snow in October.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I remember some of the choice words that I had for you then.
And you think, oh, here we go. You know, we're headed right into winter. 3.7 inches of snow in November, so we actually dropped. We had more snow in October than we did in November. And the first 10 days of November, outside of what we're going to get tonight, I really don't see much in the way of snow for the next first 10 days of December. It looks really quiet. You know, we had this stormy period over the Thanksgiving holiday, and now that it's over, things are going to quiet down for the next 10 days. We might be a storm a week from Monday, but other than that, storm-free with a return to some sunshine. I think we have a shot at sun just about every day this week.
Oh, that's nice.
So, and temperatures fairly mild, lower 40s and upper 30s. So a nice quiet stretch of weather to start out the month of December after, you know, this winter really got off to a crazy start with all that snow around Halloween.
Right, right. Well, you know, we'll keep everybody posted on weather and traffic because it is a super busy day. We'll keep people posted. And if online, if people want to get updates, Mike, what's the best way to do that?
Download the app, WGN Weather Center app, or you can check us out online at WGNTV.com. Or I'll be posting updates all day long on Twitter at Mike Hammernick, and also you can check out Twitter at WGNNews.com. We'll be keeping you updated all day long with the latest on what's going on over here, what's going on the roads up north. And when that snow does move in later this afternoon and this evening, we'll keep you on top of that.
Okay, very good. Now you also grew up here in the Chicago area. So
yeah.
You remember some of these neighborhoods, I'll bet, that I was talking about. These neighborhoods that go crazy decorating. Do you remember some of the areas? Because I was trying to think of them this morning, and I couldn't remember the exact streets. Although I remember it was fun to like get in the car and go and check out the decorations at these places.
Yeah, that was a family tradition. You jump in the car and you go drive around.
Let's go for a ride.
Yeah, a lot of times. You
kids
know,
be quiet back there. It's Christmas.
Well, I grew up in the city in Rogers Park, and we'd head out to the suburbs a lot of the time because it was different. And, you know, Northbrook and Des Plaines, there were always some good displays out in that direction. But I do recall... my sister lived in the Sauganash area for a while, and there is that one area around Devon and out in that area that does have that people have been talking about.
Right.
I don't know the exact location, but I can see it. I can remember it.
Right. Me too. A lot of people are texting in saying that it was around Cicero and Pratt. That seems to be the area that is coming up most on our text line. And somebody reminded me that it's called Candy Cane Lane. Remember that?
Oh, okay.
It's called Candy Cane Lane, and you go out to Candy Cane Lane, and that house that I was referring to, it's a three-story house, and they make it look, they open their drapes on the first, second, and third floor, and they make it look like the Christmas tree is three stories tall. And somebody added on the text line that recently they also put an addition on their roof. So they make it look like it's three stories tall, and it's bursting through the roof.
Nice.
Well, and they say that three-story house is at Leroy and Albion. Leroy and Albion Street, okay. If anyone's looking for that.
I'll be looking for a traffic spike there a little bit later on today.
I hope so. I hope so. Anything we can do to add to the confusion of the busiest traffic day of the week, of the year, rather.
Let me add one more thing. You know, one thing I've enjoyed over the last couple of years, it's out at the Morton Arboretum, Illumination. That's really neat. If you want to get outside and walk, do some walking and it's not too cold, that's a really neat experience.
Yeah, there's Zoo Lights is another one at the Lincoln Park Zoo. There's a lot of, you know, really nice ones. But I like when the neighbors get together and, you know, go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, thanks for the update.
All right, Dean, thank you.
Appreciate that. This is Ruthie on the phone line at 312-981-7200. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. I love your show. I know what you mean. It's yes. The first one is Lincolnwood Towers, and it's between Devon and Pratt, just west of Cicero.
All right.
And yeah, and it used to be even better than now. Like, all the neighbors would get together, and that's really where that tree is and stuff. But the last few years, I think the neighborhood has changed, and not everybody is decorating.
Because
they used to sometimes have carolers out there, or one place used to give hot chocolate, you know. Yeah. You could give them money, and it went to some charity. Right. But it's not as big deal as it used to be, unfortunately.
I wondered if, you know, it was still going on or not, because I haven't gone out in years, but I think I might this year. I have a little bit of the holiday spirit early this year for me.
Well, and the other one that I know of is on Devon, east of Mannheim, and it's on the south side of the street. It's a residential area that you have to go through a guard to begin with, but at Christmas time, it's opened up, and it's gorgeous. They do a lot of stuff. I take people there all the time to go through, and so that's a really pretty place. Yeah. It's before you get to O'Hare, so that's a nice one, too.
A lot of nice ways to get into the holiday spirit. You know what another way is you've seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life, haven't you, Ruthie?
Yes.
You like it?
Yes. Yesterday I saw it. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Well, you probably
even though it doesn't have Frank Sinatra in it, it's still my favorite.
Well, what would that be if George Bailey was played by Frank Sinatra?
No. Jimmy Stewart is fabulous. All right. There's no doubt about it.
How about Frank Sinatra as Mr. Potter?
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting. There is only one Mr. Potter in my book, but there is a stage version of It's a Wonderful Life that has been going on for years in Chicago. We're going to talk with some of the cast members coming
the
up.
The radio
in a
show
minutes.
One?
Yeah, the radio
the one
show
that's one. Oh, I will go on to that. It's wonderful.
Good.
I loved it.
All right. Well, listen, you keep listening. We're going to give you a little info. And maybe
and
since
you all the time,
thank
you're
you.
Fabulous.
Since it's your favorite movie, maybe you want to make it your favorite stage production to go see. We'll tell you all about that coming up next.
Happy, I'll put it on my list. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I'll have whatever she's drinking.
I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. And then I'm coming back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. Were you going to throw a rock? Hey, that's pretty good.
Clip from one of my favorite movies, period, of all time. Not just favorite holiday movies of all time. It's A Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. I love seeing the movie. I especially love seeing it up on a big screen. If you ever see the music box or any of the, you know, the retro theater showing it on big screen, see it the way Frank Capra intended for you to see it. It's pretty amazing. And if you live here in Chicago and if you have not yet experienced the stage production, It's a Wonderful Life, live in Chicago, I cannot recommend this enough to you. It's put on by American Blues Theater. It's the 18th anniversary, and it's like sort of a holiday tradition for them to stop by our show every holiday season as well. Hmm. Welcome, everybody. It's nice to have you here with us.
Good morning, Dean.
Nice to be here. I'm just going to have you go down the room here so everyone will recognize the voices and introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Michael Mahler, and in the show I do the announcer, and I play the piano, and I write the jingles.
Which explains why you brought a guitar today, then.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, you have a little entertainment here this morning.
Good morning, I'm Brandon Dahlquist. I do George Bailey in the show.
Ah, very nice, very nice.
I'm James Joseph. I play Uncle Billy in several other parts in the show as well.
Oh, Uncle Billy. Poor Uncle Billy. Poor Uncle Billy. Nice to have you.
I'm Wendy Whiteside. I play Mary. I'm also the director.
The boss.
Well. Yeah.
The boss.
Mike Mahler was too modest. He also is the music director for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Super, super, super talented. And last but not least, Sean. Nice to have you here with us.
I'm Sean Gowdy. I'm the Foley artist. I do all the sound effects for the production.
Wait, give us the sound effect again. I don't think we heard.
Come back,
where
Sean.
Did Sean go? Sean walked away. He did. I can't believe this is 18 years that you guys have been doing this. It's now the second longest running Christmas production in the Chicago, I guess, is it Goodman's Christmas Carol that's number one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good company to keep.
Yeah, it is good company to keep. How do you reflect, Wendy, on all of this, since you're the boss of the whole thing?
That's scary, being called the boss of all of them. I think people just love the humanity of the show. It's so heartwarming, and it reminds everyone the importance of their life and how important they are to others. So,
I think it's all of those things. But also, Brandon, don't you think that it's the way that you present this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's done like an old-time radio show, mm-hmm. right? Like an old golden days of radio kind of show.
Yeah, it hits on the nostalgia of the era without doing it too much. We're very homey and very authentic, and it feels... It's just a warm room to be in, and I think the audiences like to get to see how the magic is made. It's kind of like we're letting them in on a secret.
Yeah, how many years have you been doing this now?
This is my third year that I've done the show.
Third year. Mm-hmm. Wendy, how many... Are you original from the...
I'm from 2009, so okay. I've done...
That's still a long time.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
try to make it sound like it's a short time.
I'm still in my middle age. I've done Mary for 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And... James, talk to me a little bit about what it's like to perform this. I mean, people are bringing their own memories of the movie, I would think, when they come to see the show. And I know from when I've seen it through the years that you're just sort of mouthing the words along with people. It's got to be a little bit annoying for the actors, I would think, right?
Actually, it's wonderful because it means that the audience is completely engaged in what you're doing. They're as much a part of the story as you are. But I will also tell you, there are a lot of people, or a surprisingly large number of people, who have not seen the movie, who come to see it. And
this is their first experience.
It's their first experience
a wonderful
with the story.
Life. Wow!
And they are just as taken with it as they would have been by the movie. They say, "Now I see what all the fuss was about."
Yeah. Isn't that amazing that the movie was a flop in the beginning, that it didn't take off until many decades after it was released? That's amazing to me that it took so long for this to catch on. Mm-hmm. What do you think are the properties of It's a Wonderful Life that make it so appealing, Mike?
Well, I think it's a story about... it's everybody can relate to it in some way or another, right? Everybody has their own life story, and everybody connects to different people in different ways, and you don't ever really take the time to stop and think about what would happen if you weren't there, if you weren't around, you know, how people's lives would be diminished in a small way. And it's sort of... it's a good time of year. I think a lot of people... you know, the holidays are such a beautiful time, but they can also be a time when people struggle with depression or loneliness. And it's sort of a really wonderful way to take a step back and think, you know what, you know, life can be hard, but it's also really wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's a good time to remember that.
Appreciate the people you have in your lives.
Yeah.
The things that you have.
Yeah. The small little things that sort of add up to a wonderful picture of a whole life.
Yeah, I guess that's what makes it so fun. And the way you present it as well, you could have just done like a straight, you know, like a play, mm-hmm. Just like a regular play. Wendy, how is it that you chose to do this old style radio version of it?
So back in the day, we presented it as a chamber theater piece. And then after 2 years of just stage readings of that, we went on into doing a full-fledged production and doing it as a radio. And Marty Higginbotham was the director of that. And he stayed with us through many, many years until he moved to Alabama. And then I sort of picked up the mantle, but wanted to honor his original direction. So we find that the added elements of the audiograms and the jingles and the pre-show music and the holiday and milk and cookies at the end just give it a full immersive experience for the audience.
Yeah, it is. It's really fun. And, you know, people like seeing a radio show being put on. I mean, we knew that from when Mike mentioned to me, this is your first time here in our new studios,
mm-hmm.
because you used to always come into our Michigan Avenue studios,
right.
And we'd be right in the window where people would stop and they would want to look. And I always thought, there is nothing more boring than just seeing a guy sitting in the window talking on a microphone. But people really enjoy like watching the process and pushing the buttons.
Yeah.
But because you do it like an old-time radio show, there's scripts, and I mean, there's a certain romance about all of that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Brandon said earlier, we're letting them in on a secret. And I think they're seeing how the sausage gets made.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's part of it. Sean, you make a lot of the sausage.
Yeah.
Yes. He's the sausage king of Chicago.
I hope you have that on your resume.
Yes, that's an asterisk. Sausage king.
As the Foley artist. Why is it Foley artist and not sound effects guy?
Because I believe the original person that did it was named Foley, and so it's just one of those things that pays tribute to that artist and has stuck around all these many years.
You mean the person who did sound effects on radio shows, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I never knew that. So take us a little bit behind the scenes of your what you have in front of you and what it is that you're going to be doing here.
Well, what I have with me today is I have a pair of men's shoes that suffice for any of the walking in the room. And then for running in the snow, I actually have a burlap sack with a paper bag and some popcorn. Ooh. And then
theater of the mind.
For knocking on the window, we knock on a bottle of beer.
Somebody you have to knocked drink it off first. That bottle of beer.
Yeah, just earlier. But yeah, I've got a lot of toys on stage too. You know, you've got the hollow core door that, you know, serves for every walk in and out of the room, and a box that makes squeaking noises, and a box that breaks things.
Yeah.
That old radio player for the Victrola moment. Yeah, that's really, really cool.
Are there certain moments that like people respond to more than others?
I think the water splash. That's one that people are always sort of surprised by.
When George and Mary fall in the pool, you mean?
No, when Clarence jumps in the water, also when his younger brother falls in the lake
and the
ice breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
That one's just a basin tub with some water and a plunger in it. But, you know, all of a sudden people are looking and wondering, why is he grabbing that plunger handle? And then I pull the thing up and this, you know, water geyser shoots up. And that's always a fun one to see people suddenly turn and go, wait, oh, did you see that?
Yeah, yeah. That's part of the fun of going to the show and seeing how all of this is done. They're going to perform a couple of scenes in just a couple of minutes. And if you twist my arm, I've been waiting for this all week. I tried to be super cool about it. It's like, no, I shouldn't. I shouldn't do my Mr. Potter thing. I do it every year. Everyone's sick of hearing me do my Mr. Potter. But enough people have said, are you doing your Mr. Potter to convince me that I'm part of the tradition now?
You got to give the people what they want.
I got to give the people what they want. Right. Despite public opinion, we're still going to do it. Anyway, so they're going to perform a couple of the scenes from the whole thing. It's a Wonderful Life Live in Chicago is playing through January 4th. It's at American, it's actually at Stage 773, which is 1225 West Belmont in Chicago. You can go to AmericanBluesTheater.com to get ticket info or by calling 773-654-3103. Brandon Dahlquist, George Bailey is here. Wendy Whiteside, Mary Bailey, also the director of the show. Michael Mahler is here, and James Joseph, who plays Uncle Billy, as well as some other roles, and Sean Gowdy, who is the Foley or sound effects artist. And Mary, what are we going to be starting off with this morning? When I say we, I mean you guys.
Sure. We're going to do a scene, George and Mary, when he is finding out some really important news.
Oh. All right, guys, take it away.
Hi.
Did I wake you?
No.
Oh, Mary Hatch. Why in the world would you ever marry a guy like me, anyway?
To keep from being an old maid.
Oh, well, you could have married Sam Wainwright. Well, anybody else in town.
I didn't want to marry anybody else in town. I want my baby to look like you.
Oh, well, you didn't even have a honeymoon. I promised you the moon and all I've ever given... Wait, you're what?
My baby?
Well, you mean... Well, Mary, you're on the nest?
George Bailey, Lasso Stork.
On the nest is my favorite part of that whole thing. At one time, that was the proper way of saying that somebody was pregnant. That you are on the nest. Next, we have Uncle Billy and George and an encounter here. Guys, take it away.
George!
Uncle Billy, what's going on? The bank examiner's here.
He's here?
Yeah, he wants the accounts payable. What's the matter with you?
The money. The 8,000. Well, what, Uncle Billy? What happened to it?
I don't know. I was going to deposit it, but when I went to the bank, I didn't have it.
$8,000? Uncle Billy, the bank examiner's waiting in our office, and it's not our money. It belongs to the depositors.
I'm so sorry, George. I just don't know what happened.
Well, the first place you look is your coat pocket. I told you to put it there when you left.
Oh, I'm no good to you, George. I'm no good.
Well, let's go, then. We have to retrace your steps. We'll leave no stone unturned.
But, George, I did that. I looked everywhere. I went back and retraced every single step. It's gone.
Well, listen to me. Listen to me. You try and think.
I can't think anymore. I can't. I'm sorry, George. It's really gone.
No, we need that money, you stupid, silly old fool. We need it. Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. That's what it means. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me. Now, you get out of my way. I'm going home.
Fantastic scene. Fantastic scene. Is there a temptation, Brandon, to mimic Jimmy Stewart while you're doing this?
Oh, no, you know, the temptation was there, but Wendy told me wisely, do not do that.
Yeah. While you're reading it, in my mind, I'm thinking it like Jimmy Stewart's voice.
There's, yeah. You know,
I like that you've got your own voice to this whole thing, but I wonder if people expect that when they come.
I don't know if they expect it, but I certainly try to fight against that. Certainly there's cadence that you can't unhear in the Jimmy Stewart right. Delivery, but you know, I think making it my own helps, you know, translate to the audience, because if they can see an authentic take on this text, I think they're more likely to let it land on them.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's more more from the heart from you.
Yeah.
More to the heart to me as an audience member.
Absolutely,
I guess, right.
Yeah, it's a fun challenge, and yeah. I could totally do a Jimmy Stewart impression, but
let's hear your Jimmy Stewart impression.
Oh, what do you want, Mary? What do you want? You want the moon? Well, see, I just say the word. I'll throw a lasso around. I'll pull it down and give it to you.
But I try not to.
We take it all back. You should do it like that every
yeah.
time.
Turns out he was pretty good.
I was wrong.
I was wrong.
Right. Glad I can direct your play.
Yeah.
Sorry, Wendy. In addition to the production itself, which is presented as an old-time radio show, so as a result of that, you get station breaks, you get singing commercials.
That's right.
You get all kinds of things. I guess that's kind of your department here, right, Mike?
Yeah. Every year we write like new jingles for companies that sponsor the show or do favors for the show, and we present them as if we were on the old-time radio. In fact, because you've been such a supporter of the show over the years, we have a special jingle just for you.
Wow.
And it goes something like this. Who do you choose for theater reviews, Hollywood news, and celeb interviews? Sundays at 9, weekday mornings till 10. Catch Dean Richards on WGN.
Wow. Look at that. We'll be stealing that from you. Very liberally. Mark the tape in there, Ryan. We're stealing. Oh, look. You have the sheet music for
that's
that.
Right. We got a little
framed.
Plaque for you.
Oh, my gosh. That's very sweet. That's very nice. What are some of the ones that you actually do during the show, though?
We've got one for there's a restaurant across the street called Kubo that's a Filipino restaurant that we sing. We do one for the Catcade next door. It's the cat cafe where you can adopt a kitten.
Yeah.
Yeah, all sorts of different ones. It's really fun. I think the audience gets a kick out of seeing it sort of change every year.
Oh, that's fun. And you also do like a little there's a pre-show before the production actually starts, right?
Yeah. When the audience is coming in, the sort of story is that we as the radio actors are sort of warming up and getting ready for the show and getting in the holiday spirit. So we do some holiday tunes of the era, and one of our favorites is Melikalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we sent to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is Hawaii's way to say Merry Christmas to you. Say, Brandon.
Yes, Mike.
I understand you've been to Hawaii.
Well, only in my dreams. But I'd love to join. Melikalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here when all that Christmas will be from green and bright, the sun do shine by day and all the stars at night.
Don't forget about the moon.
Is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very, very Merry Christmas to you.
Aloha. Oh, I just love that. That's fantastic. Now do it as Jimmy Stewart.
Aloha.
Fantastic.
That now do it as Frank Sinatra.
He's the man of a thousand voices. Love it. Love it. The show is It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago. It's playing through January the 4th at Stage 773, which is right on Belmont. Is it near Racine, right? Belmont, near Racine. 1225 West Belmont in particular. AmericanBluesTheater.com. For ticket info and 773-654-3103. I cannot recommend the show enough. And now, if we're all ready, this is my favorite scene from my favorite movie. I love this movie maybe more than any movie that I've seen. Sorry, Godfather 1 and 2. That would be number 2 and 3, I guess. But this scene in particular, Mr. Potter is my favorite character. How is John, by the way? It's John.
John Moreland.
Moreland, yeah. Who's normally here with us and had a commitment this morning.
Yeah.
Couldn't be with us. He's doing well. Everything's good.
He is. Every time he gets on the mic and does his Mr. Potter, you hear audience members giggle because they're so excited for him.
Yeah, he does a diabolical Mr. Potter that is so fantastic. We're sending him our love, and we miss him being here with us this morning. but this scene, you know, at the end of the movie, and George realizes what life was like without him, and he's just running through the streets and just so happy to be recognizing people and seeing things that he knows.
To be alive.
Until Mr. Potter. Until he encounters Mr. Potter, who today, because John's not here, will be played by Dean Rich.
Oh, I'm going home, Bert. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. Hey, Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building and loan. Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter.
And a Happy New Year to you in jail.
Sorry. I love it. That screams Merry Christmas.
Johnny, you're out.
It is now the holiday season for me. You guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, always great
to see you. Brandon Dahlquist, Michael Mahler, James Joseph, Sean Gowdy, Wendy Whiteside. It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago, playing through January the 4th. Again, AmericanBluesTheater.com or 773-654-3103 is the telephone number.
Who do you choose for theater reviews? Hollywood news and celeb interviews. Sundays at 9, weekday mornings till 10. Catch Dean Richards on WGN.
How about that? A brand new jingle for the show.
I love it.
Impressive.
Brand,
love it.
Brand new jingle. Compliments of Mike Mayer, who was with the cast of It's a Wonderful Life live in Chicago, our guest in the last half hour. They did a little Dean Richards song for us here today.
And you got to say your favorite line.
And Happy New Year to you in jail.
Ah, it's a Merry Christmas after all. I hope you enjoyed that jingle because you're going to hear it about every 10 minutes from now on.
I was anticipating that.
On the show. we got a ton of response. We're asking, you know, where are the best places to see decorated houses, you know, in the neighborhoods, the areas that really go crazy. People have been texting and calling like mad, telling us about Candy Cane Lane and places that I had forgotten about. I really appreciate everybody, you know, taking time to call or text in. So now I want to pose another question. Where do you go to cut down your own Christmas tree? Because I was at the Home Depot yesterday, I had to get some stuff because I am extremely, next to Lou Manfredini, I'm probably the handiest guy on WGN.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Maybe the least handy.
Do you push the cart with your coat over it at the Home Depot, too, like you do it at Jewel?
It's more difficult to hide your stuff that you're shopping at Home Depot because the items tend to be larger. So, no, I do not cover my...
Okay.
I'm not...
It's for public consumption.
Stop trying to make me look like I'm crazy just because I cover my groceries. I know it is crazy. But I'm at the... I don't even remember what I went to Home Depot for now.
What did I go for? You were looking for decorations or a tree?
Probably. No, I was not. I was not at all. I went for something else, some like actual home thing. I thought, oh, I'm going to go look. I thought maybe I was going to get like a nice... I have a tree from Tree Time, a beautiful artificial tree that I got at Tree Time many years ago. And I love it, and I put that in the front of the house. But I said, maybe I'll put a tree... I have like a little sunroom in the back of my house. Maybe I'll put a tree back there also and become one of these two-tree people. So
I know people that do that.
Oh,
it's nice.
I know a lot of people that have three and four trees.
Sure.
In different rooms in their houses. But I just thought, oh, maybe it'd be nice. I have like plants and things out on that little sunroom. Maybe I'll put a Christmas tree out there. That would be nice. So I go out to in the area where the trees are for the Home Depot. And it's a madhouse back there. It was yesterday. It was a Saturday. And, you know, everybody was out getting trees. But man, that smell. Maybe that's why I'm in such a Christmassy mood. Maybe that's what it is.
We had a place just a few blocks from where I grew up, and in the fall they did pumpkins, and in the this time of year they did fresh cut Christmas trees, and it was out of Norman Rockwell to go up there and get the tree and take it home and decorate it. Yep. It's just great.
Yeah, but those are pre-cut though, right?
Yes. Yeah. So,
see, what I want to do.
You want to cut your own tree.
I want to be Johnny Appleseed.
Uh-oh.
What could go wrong?
You with the saw.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
I used to do this when the nieces and nephews were younger. We'd pile into the car and we would go. I want to say we used to go to Paw Paw, Michigan. I think.
Yeah. They have tree farms up that way.
And we'd go up there and the kids would run around like crazy, you know, out of control. And we'd find a tree that we all, you know, could agree on. And Uncle Dean would get underneath with the bow saw. And I'd saw the thing down. We'd put it on top of the car, drive home. It was really fun. But and here's the thing. These trees that you cut down yourself last so much longer than the ones that you buy in a lot or, you know, the places.
They've been sitting around for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, these are fresh cut. And sometimes they've been sitting around for a couple of months.
I wouldn't
seriously
be surprised.
One year I bought a tree in a lot and I got it home. The needles fell off like 2 days later and I was so mad. And then I could see that the tree had been spray painted green.
Oh, really?
Oh,
so who,
cover
who knows how long? Right. That it obviously had been cut down, you know, months before, and they spray painted it green so you couldn't see that all the needles were about to fall off.
How much did you pay for the tree?
I don't remember. Too much. Probably way too much. But that's why I thought it would be fun to... Wouldn't it be fun? The three of us go and cut down our own tree.
Oh.
I'm really good at supervising.
A Sunday morning tree.
To leave.
A Sunday morning tree cutting session. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? You better have the 911 call, the speed dial handy.
What could possibly go wrong with that? Somebody texting in saying that the Christmas trees that you see in lots were cut back in June.
Hmm.
No wonder the needles fall off. No wonder. Here's somebody else texting in saying, my neighbor has a really nice fir tree in his yard. You can come and get it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, there's our assignment.
Yeah,
all three of us.
Go steal somebody's tree from their yard.
You still have that big bow saw?
I do, as a matter of
fact.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Here we go.
But here's my I vaguely remember where we used to go. I think it was Paw Paw, Michigan. I can't really remember. But where do you go? Because there have to be places just outside of the Chicago area that are tree farms where you can go and cut down your trees. Anyone have any help on that? Eleven 18, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Good to have you with us here. We're getting set for the Titans and the Colts coming up at 11:30 here on WGN. And I'm looking for where you can go to cut down your own Christmas tree. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We have people on our text line who are really trying to start trouble with their neighbors. A lot of people recommending their neighbor's yard if you would like to cut down a tree. I do not believe that that is a feasible option. But Joe is on the line with a suggestion. Hi, Joe. You're on WGN.
Morning, Dean.
How are you, sir?
Good. Marmion Abbey Tree Farm. That's in North Aurora, Illinois.
That's what I was trying to think of. I knew that there was one that was not too far, and I thought it was around the Aurora area.
They have trees, wreaths, and every other way that the Good Brothers can get into your pocket.
Have you ever gone out and cut your own tree down there?
Multiple times.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it? In the longevity of the tree, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's my thinking on it. Hey, listen, hang on for a second, because I would love to send you a tickets to see Beauty and the Beast playing at the Paramount Theater in Aurora now through January the 19th. I saw it last week. I gave it rave reviews. If you've got some, you know, family members, I think you'll really enjoy that. So hang on for just a second, and we will pass that along to you. Some texters are also chiming in here and saying that Richardson Tree Farm in Spring Grove has been selling trees that you can cut down yourself since the 1800s. Really? Wow, I never knew that. Here's another one saying that Larson's Berry Farm in Salmonac is someplace that you can go, that during the summertime, you can go pick blueberries there. In the wintertime, you can go cut down your own Christmas tree. Here's another one suggesting the Marmion Abbey. It's on Butterfield Road and Hart Road, 2 to 3 miles east of Route 31 in North Aurora. Here's one that's suggesting Kuiper's, K-U-I-P-E-R-S.
We had them on a few weeks ago.
In Maple Park, we did?
Yes.
On our show?
I believe we did, yes.
What were we talking about?
Talking about trees and winter stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
I should pay attention more. I'll bet this show's really interesting if you actually pay attention to what's going on.
I'm ready to go with my the tree cutting. I think we should do it.
Is that when we were talking about apples?
That's what it was.
A couple of weeks ago?
What it was. Apples,
like
right.
The different different kinds of apples.
Yes,
like 15 different
that's
apples.
That's what
that
it
they
was.
Grow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I do. I thought because I had zero memory of talking about Christmas trees prior. To
so that. Are you ready to cut down the tree,
Swanee? It is. It's so much fun.
Well, let's go.
It's so much fun. Timber! You've been waiting all morning to play that sound effect,
haven't
you?
Yes, I have. That was specifically chosen by Andy and myself.
Hey, wait a second. The tree isn't completely cut through. Can you play it again?
Yeah.
Yeah. So ridiculous. I think it would be a blast. I think it would be a blast.
You know, I've never done it.
Really?
I've never done it.
It's one of the nicest Christmas memories that I have with my nieces and nephews when they were little. I want to say maybe like 5 to 12 years old. Something like that, pile into the car.
Oh,
Uncle
they must
Dean.
Have had just the time of their lives out there.
And it was cold and it was snowy, but everybody was all bundled up and, you know, you're just running around. How about that tree, Uncle Dean? How about that tree, Uncle Dean? What about that one? One year I went, I couldn't find a nice tree that I liked to save my life. But I saw this tree that must have been, I don't know, 50 feet tall. I don't know how tall it was, but I thought, if I cut that big tree down, the top 8 feet of that tree looks fantastic
would be
from a
the
distance.
Tree you could put in.
It would be, it's perfect. From a distance, it looks great. So here I go, Paul Bunyan, with my my bow saw. Wait, go ahead. Go ahead and do the... Getting a lot of mileage out of that. I cut this gigantic tree down. The kids are going nuts because I cut this giant tree down. And, okay, we got this. We got the big tree down. Now let's just cut off the top, you know, eight, I don't know, 8 or 10 feet, whatever it was. And the, when it actually comes to the ground, and you know, look at the top 8 feet, there's like four branches on that top 8 feet.
Oh, you were thinking it was just going to be, you know, the equivalent of a regular size tree.
A nice bushy, from a distance, yeah. It looked like it was like perfectly shaped.
It had four branches.
And it was literally 4 to 6 branches. That's all there was to it.
Looked like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree.
Well, it's like, well, I cut the thing down. Now I got to pay for it. So I got to do it. So I took home this stupid, the ugliest tree that has ever been, and it was it's my Charlie Brown tree. To this day, people go, remember that year you had that ugly tree? Because I put so much junk on it trying to make it look full, and in reality, it was a tree that had like 4 branches on the whole thing. It looked ridiculous. But I've got this great story to go with all of this now. People are suggesting the Hensler Tree Farm in Hamlet, Indiana. Does that, do you know that? Hamlet, Indiana, Shawnee?
I don't think I've ever heard of Hamlet, Indiana.
They say it's an excellent family destination, Santa's Village and all the trimmings. Here's one that is suggesting, where did it go here? Our text line bounces around like crazy. So it's here's the Tammen Tree Farm in Essex, Illinois. Someone is suggesting if you want to do that. Peter, hi, you're on WGN.
Hi there, Dean, and a merry, merry, happy time to you.
Thank you.
I don't have a tree farm to suggest. You just reminded me of something my dad had to do one year with a drill and a too tall tree that was sparse at the top. He took branches from the bottom and bored holes in the trunk and stuffed them in higher up.
See, I wish I would have thought of that. Where were you when I needed you 20 years ago?
Well, he's also the guy who back in 1955 got two of the last trees out of the local Goldblatt's lot. We had just moved into Park Forest up from Hoopston on the 23rd. And he got two half trees over there and wired them together.
Wow.
To make one of the fullest, biggest trees. And if you know that lovely story that we hear just about every year, Kogan tells it. Rick Kogan tells it. He likes to repeat the story. My dad was a madman back in the 50s, working up in the city. So it could very well be that he is the source for that story.
For that series.
Story.
I love the banding the two trees together. I love that story. I love boring holes in a sparse tree and adding some branches to it. I'm gonna keep that in mind. I'm running up against the clock here, so I have to run. I appreciate your call. That is gonna wind it up for us today. Get ready for the Titans and the Colts next on WGN. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Steve Cochran's show between 8 and 8:30 with entertainment.